Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. A lot's been happening lately for me and for the work. Late last week, I had the opportunity to meet with Trumpet Hour radio host Joel Hilliker, and he gave me a lot of pointers for being on the radio and some advice for this program. So if you notice any improvements in this Behind the Work program, be sure to bombard him with praise for helping me out. This weekend, I took my wife and daughter to Wichita, Kansas, and over to Tulsa, Oklahoma after that. Got out of town a little bit, and now I'm feeling refreshed and energized for another week in God's work. I would also like to take a moment right now to admonish all of you to email me at comments@kpcg.fm. That's comments@kpcg.fm. With any thoughts you might have about upcoming programs, what part of God's work would you like to hear about? What part of God's work maybe do you not know the details of, or would you like to know more about? Sometimes being so close to the work like I am here all the time in Edmond, Oklahoma, I might not realize what a lot of you listeners are wondering about regarding God's work. So please email me your thoughts regarding that. Recently in the work, a big development has been PCG Pastor General Gerald Fleury recording 3 new Key of David programs about France. That's Trump versus Macron in Bible prophecy, France in Bible prophecy, and France is betraying America and fulfilling Bible prophecy. You can find an article by that same title, that last title, in the January 2019 Philadelphia Trumpet News Magazine. There's been so much focus on France in the work lately, in the warning message that God has commissioned the Philadelphia Church of God to deliver. There's also a booklet that is being put together now that Mr. Fleury will be releasing soon about France in prophecy. While he was preparing these Key of David programs, he asked me to research a lot of articles about France for him. And so I dug back into the church archives. I found quite a few articles to print off for him to look at before he delivered his 3 programs. And it's just astounding to see how much this church has talked about France for the last 25, 30 years almost. And even to see how much the Worldwide Church of God under the late educator and theologian Herbert W. Armstrong talked about France for about 5 or 6 decades before us. And if you read those articles, you'll see that the forecasting, the analysis of Bible prophecy has been spot on. If you just compare those forecasts with what is happening right now. So today we're going to get into France in prophecy. This is something that Mr. Fleury asked me to talk about, just to explain why it's so important, why God's church cares so much about this subject right now. But before I do that, I have a few updates on the work, and they're quite exciting. Our director of marketing and public relations, Mr. Shane Granger, updated Mr. Fleury on Friday about some of the statistics regarding the Seals of Isaiah and King Hezekiah Discovered exhibit. It's been in Armstrong Auditorium since June, and on Friday afternoon, we officially surpassed 6,000 visitors to the exhibit. And lest you think that's all PCG members, no, it's not. It's actually 86%, or 5,174 visitors from outside the church, and then the other close to 1,000 are from the church. So we're getting a whole lot of visitors. The first week of the exhibit saw 725 people pass through. And then lately it's been slowing down a little bit just because so most of the people who have wanted to visit already have. But, I mean, there have been weeks where there's been well over 500. Week 10 of the exhibit saw 648 people visit. And like I said, just on Friday, we had our 6,000th visitor to this stunning and informative exhibit. You can learn a lot more about this exhibit by visiting. We have until January with those impressive artifacts. Or you can go to watchjerusalem.co.il. There's an exhibit tab at the top of the page there. That's watchjerusalem.co.il. It will explain to you a lot of the artifacts in the exhibit and why that exhibit is so important, why God's church is hosting it. So that's pretty exciting news to see that the work is really growing in that way and delivering a powerful message about Bible history and prophecy through that exhibit. I have another update here from the Australasia Regional Office of the church. Also on Friday, the church reached 6,000 waiting rooms in New Zealand and Australia. We've had volunteers down in those countries working on the phones a lot to try to get various doctor's offices and other waiting rooms to have the Philadelphia trumpet. So now there are 6,000 waiting rooms in New Zealand and Australia that will be offering the trumpet. They will have the trumpet out available to anyone who comes to their offices. And based on the current rate of growth, we should hit 6,500 waiting rooms by December 10th. So just staggering numbers there. It would be an interesting challenge for any of you who live down there in New Zealand or Australia to go to a waiting room and see if you don't find the Philadelphia trumpet. It's quite a lot of offices that have it, and probably not very many at this point that don't have it. So really exciting news there about the waiting room program. It's a great way of getting the Philadelphia trumpet in front of some people who might not have known to search for it or find it in other ways. And then once they see the magazine, they can subscribe to it for free pretty easily. And then I have one final report here. This is the music department report from Armstrong International Cultural Foundation concert manager Ryan Malone, music department head as well. And this is what he sent to Mr. Fleury on Friday regarding the music department. He has written and recorded two new episodes of his radio program Music for Life, and they will air in mid-December. The first of those programs promotes the new music booklet, How God Values Music, and you can find that at thetrumpet.com right now. A new booklet, and Mr. Malone talks about how great that booklet is and why people should read it. And the second Music for Life radio program he recorded goes into even more detail about the material in that booklet as it pertains to singing specifically. There's a concert coming up tomorrow in the AICF concert series this year. The Bach Collegium Japan will be performing at Armstrong Auditorium tomorrow night. And also, he wanted me to admonish listeners to make plans to see the recital that's taking place at the end of December. A lot of people will be in town that weekend because that's during our once every 18 months ministerial conference. And in, right in the middle of that conference, there is a recital put on by some of our music students on December 30th at 2 p.m. So if you're coming here to Edmond, please strive to make that part of your plans to attend that at 2 p.m. on December 30th. Well, that's it for my updates on the work this week. And now we'll plunge into the topic that Mr. Fleury asked me to cover today. Again, that's France in prophecy. Now, you might be asking, why is it so important to talk about France? They haven't really been a world power since Louis XIV or since Napoleon Bonaparte in the 1800s. They've been basically subservient to Britain and to America for well over 100 years. largely France owes its existence to Britain and America. So really, they're not that important, you could say. France really doesn't matter that much. That's not to bash France, but it's just saying that Germany's in charge of Europe. France is not. Well, one reason that it is so important to look at France is because it does affirm the accuracy of the Bible. The Bible talks about France in history, and it also prophesies what France would be like today. Now, if it comes out that those prophecies are accurate, then it does prove the authority of the Bible. Conversely, if we see France today completely contradicting everything that the Bible says about it, well, then that would discredit the Bible. We can prove it for ourselves. Well, let's look at the history and prophecy of France. Let's see how historically France was maybe a bit unreliable and how those types of traits are evident in France today. You can look at the story of Reuben and Joseph. They were the forefathers of modern France and America and Britain, Reuben being over France, Joseph being over America and Britain. And there is an interesting story in the Bible about Reuben and Joseph. You can see that in Genesis chapter 37. Reuben was the oldest of the 12 or the 13 sons of Jacob. And Joseph was the oldest son of Jacob's second wife, if that makes sense. So Jacob had two wives, Leah and Rachel, and the second wife, Rachel, had Joseph. Because Jacob liked Joseph more, or because Jacob liked Rachel, his second wife, more than he liked Leah, he ended up basically making Joseph his actual firstborn son. So you can see some pretty big problems developing in this family pretty early on. One, you shouldn't have more than one wife because obviously the two wives are going to get jealous of each other and start fighting. But also, it's pretty natural for the husband in that case to start favoring one wife over the other or favoring certain sons over the other. And that was definitely the case of Jacob. With Jacob, he favored Rachel, and then he also favored Joseph. That made all the other brothers extremely jealous of Joseph. And they got pretty extreme in their hatred for him. When they were out tending the fields one day, they decided to actually kill Joseph and then lie to Jacob about what happened. It was at this point that the actual firstborn, not Jacob's favorite son, but his actual firstborn son, Reuben, said, "Why not put him in this pit right now, and then we'll figure out what to do with Joseph later. Let's not kill him right now." And apparently it was Reuben's idea to try to sneak back to the pit later and rescue Joseph. However, when Reuben went away, his brothers sold Joseph into slavery. So Reuben was devastated by this. He was very upset that his brothers had taken this action of selling Joseph without Reuben's consent. But he went back to Jacob and he told a lie that Joseph had instead been killed by a wild beast. I have an article here. This is one of the articles that Mr. Fleury asked me to print off for him as part of his research for those three Key of David programs on France. This article is titled "The Mistress of Europe" from the February 2007 Trumpet Print Edition. And this is Mr. Gareth Fraser writing. "At first glance, it may seem as though Reuben acted well. He proposed an alternative to killing Joseph by throwing him in a pit. But is that what was expected of Reuben? Is that all he could do as the firstborn son? The leader of the children? At the time, within ancient Israel, The firstborn received privileges his brothers and sisters did not. His heritage was larger, and he received a greater portion of blessings. He was next to his father in power and authority. Therefore, Reuben was actually responsible for what happened to Joseph. His job was to act the way his father would have if he had been there, not to compromise with his younger brothers in their actions against Joseph. Obviously, if Jacob had been there, he wouldn't have had Joseph sold into slavery, especially because Joseph was his favorite son. Continuing in the quote here from this article, The Mistress of Europe, Reuben did not act with courage and dignity, afraid of his enraged brothers, so afraid he didn't even remain with them to see what they finally decided to do with Joseph. All Reuben could think of was compromise. Compromise was not fulfilling his duty and responsibility as the firstborn. Reuben simply failed. So that is really the right perspective on the story of Genesis 37 with Reuben and Joseph and the other brothers, sons of Jacob. Reuben was too weak to stop his brothers from committing this evil act against Joseph. And then he compounded the problem by lying to Jacob about what happened. Now let's look at the prophecy of France, keeping this story in mind. This is Genesis 49, verses 3 through 4. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. But here's where the prophecy turns. Unstable as water, you shall not excel, because you went up to your father's bed, then defiled you it. He went up to my couch. So the prophecy starts out with praise for Reuben, but then gets to the core of the matter. Reuben is unstable as water. That means extremely unreliable, allowing emotions to influence decisions that should be really dictated by logic instead. And it even says that Reuben here is sexually impure. France today is known for being an extremely romantic nation, and in some ways that can be good, but in other ways it's romance outside the bounds of God's law. I've been told by a lot of visitors to France as well that there are a lot of people there hostile toward Americans. And, you know, that can be humorous when people are telling the stories about their experiences over there in France. Perhaps French citizens refusing to speak English to American visitors, even if they know how to speak English. So they're not really going out of their way to be too helpful. It actually reminded me of a story from Mr. Armstrong's autobiography. This is pages 684 and 685. And he's recounting a time when he visited France with his wife, Loma. And I just thought it was a really funny story, but it also does show perhaps some traits that we can look at and see that, hey, maybe their prophesied betrayal of America and Britain is quite realistic. This is Mr. Armstrong's account of breakfast in France on that visit. Breakfast took a whole hour. Service came with great flourish, much style, and very leisurely. We ordered orange juice, toast, and coffee. The waiter brought four oranges to his service table and started laboriously squeezing them on a little hand lemon squeezer. Then he served the two small glasses to a couple of ladies at an adjoining table. Then he walked to the kitchen and returned in no time at all with our orange juice, which was not orange juice, but some sort of artificial orange crush with artificial flavor and sugar and water. The toast was cold, dry, packaged Melba toast. The coffee was black, strong, and bitter. No milk or cream. The cost was 400 francs, $4. So you can really sense Mr. Armstrong's displeasure with this breakfast. Overpriced for lackluster service. And certainly it seemed like they were giving a better orange juice product to the French ladies sitting at the table nearby than they were to Mr. Armstrong and his wife. So it is a humorous story, but it also shows that despite France and America and Britain biblically being brothers, it doesn't mean that they always act like it. Doesn't mean that these nations always get along the way that God would expect. France does seem to exhibit a lot of the traits, both historically and today, of betrayal. And sure enough, that's exactly what the Bible prophesies is coming. France today, like I said, has been greatly diminished from world power status. And in a lot of ways, they've been under Britain and America directly, which you could imagine would certainly increase their jealousy toward those nations. At the same time, France has been quite compliant with Germany, which is prophesied to lead Europe very soon and cause a lot of destruction on the world stage. Here's another article I have. This is another of those pieces that Mr. Fleury had me research for him in preparation for those Key of David programs about France. And this is from the May 2003 Trumpet print edition. Again, 15 years ago, going back 15 years and many, many decades, God's work has been warning of France betraying its historical brothers. And here is just some expert analysis of the French mindset today. In this article, they're quoting the New Republic, and this quote from the columnist says this: "Like Americans, the French believe that their 18th century revolution more or less gave birth to modern liberty. Like the rest of us, the French realize France is not the global power it was 300, or for that matter, 100 years ago. And realizing the strength of the competition, they play their trump cards. Among them, a veto at the Security Council and a nuclear arsenal to wield disproportionate influence on the world stage. They don't do this out of a desire to humiliate or frustrate the United States, but out of a desire to prove that France still matters. The worst fate the French can imagine is to be ignored." That is just fantastic analysis of the French mindset. They don't necessarily always want to spite their brothers, but they want to be relevant. They want to be cared about. They want to be seen as prestigious on the world stage. And even if that means sometimes going against their allies, they'll do it. Even if that means sometimes going against their own national best interests, they'll do it. It doesn't even mean that it makes sense on a logical level. But remember the prophecy. It says that France is unstable as water, emotional, unreliable. Again, that's not to trash France. These are just character traits that they have. They also have very many good character traits, but the bad ones are what stand out because they dictate what will happen in the near future. So this is quite impressive to see that France is behaving in a way today that directly aligns with what history said they would do. Going way back to the French forefather Reuben, France has been unstable. They have been unreliable. They have been emotional. That's why they've struggled to be a leader that other nations will look to, because you don't really know how they're going to act from one week to the next. You can see that in the comments recently of French President Emmanuel Macron. He's basically said that nationalism is the opposite of patriotism, which is a direct rebuke to U.S. President Donald Trump. He has said that he loves Germany, which is a statement that Mr. Fleury will be drawing on in that next Key of David that comes out on Friday. Why is he saying these things? Why is he rebuking his strongest ally, America, when they lost about 2 million soldiers in World War I and World War II, to make sure that France actually exists today. Why is he declaring his love for Germany when they historically have caused a lot of suffering and brought France to the brink of extinction? On the surface, it doesn't seem to make sense, but when you look at the French mindset and the prophecy for them, you can see why they are making statements like this. So really, this does highlight the insight that God gives to his work, to know the history of a situation like this, to know the prophecy, to understand how current events directly correlate to these things. This is a huge blessing. It's something to be thankful for, to have a powerful warning message like this. So much of the world overlooks France because they're not the direct leader of Europe. And yet, your Bible foretells that France will have a huge role to play in helping Germany basically come very close to conquering the world in the near future. So this has been kind of an analysis of why you've seen God's work covering France so much recently. It's an extremely important subject that does underline the Bible's accuracy. Well, I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Behind the Work, and you can hear me again on Friday with Trumpet Bookshelf. And yes, it will be a new program at 10 a.m. I'll be doing both programs every week from now on. That is my pledge to you. So until next time, this has been Behind the Work.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 11:30 a.m. Central Time.